Adam, or excuse me, Eon just mentioned it. It's when you strongly believe in and have the knowledge that you are providing an extraordinary service. This isn't a luxury. This isn't nice to have. This is absolutely the basic necessity of life. It's the core. It's the bottom of the building blocks of life. Because without an ability to earn an income, you are in very, very serious trouble in a very short period of time. And there's no federal, there's no provincial, there's little, if any, help of any kind. You're on your own. And after you sell your assets and after you sell everything else, there's nothing left. And you still can't work because of a disability. And it happens time and time again to people that never believed anything could happen till it did. So believing deeply in the service that we provide, and the fact that nobody in the country of Canada can do what you can do. Nobody. There is nobody that offers first aid of lifetime benefits. There's nobody that has a non-prorated, non-integrated program. There's nobody that says your family doctor makes the final decision. I mean, we have something so incredibly unique. How could you not have confidence in the power of that service, and how the fact that you are trained and licensed by the government to go out and tell the story that you represent to self-employed people who desperately, desperately, desperately need this service? This is not an exaggeration. This is not hyperbole. This is the facts of life, folks. Self-employed people are unique because they like being in business for themselves. They like that responsibility. They like that personal feeling of excellence, that they can do their best, and they are managing of their own lives. But when something happens unforeseen, unpredicted, nobody even knows it can happen till it happens. And then it's all she wrote. And if they don't have a program that says you're going to get paid, whether it's $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, $3,000, whatever the number is, and you're going to get this money every month. You're not going to get rich on it, but it's going to keep a roof over your head, food on the table, and keep your kids together, clothes on your back. But by God, that's pretty basic. And I don't know if any of you ever gone through it, but it's pretty serious stuff. And I hope you never have to, because you'll experience it with your prospects who become your clients. That's what confidence is all about, believing deeply in why you do what you do, your why, as Simon Sinek would say it. That's why it was easy for me. I wouldn't say easy. That's the wrong term. It was easier. That's the adverb. That's the right term, to come to Canada and start this business here, because I deeply believe that we could do something unique in Canada and save families of the self-employed people when the breadwinner becomes disabled and unable to work. I believe that in 1971. I believe it today, 2023, going to be 24 in 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So I share this with all of you. If you believe what you're doing is really I think Fred Flaxman says it, a noble service. I think that's Fred's terminology, and I like it because it's spot on. You'll do very well. You'll have very limited fears and doubts. You're not taking anybody's time. Because I have to tell you, when something happens, they got all the time in the world, but what they really need is money. Back to you, Greg.
Well, thanks, Jerry, for sharing your thoughts. And I'm actually going to go to you, Fred, because we talked about this yesterday, what Jerry's talking about now. I like your perspective on you know, the power, this, how important it is to really believe in what you're doing is the right thing for the right reasons, and believing in your service. Can you expand your perspective on this, Fred?
Well, first of all, what I can say, Greg, is that this is such an important meeting, I think, especially for the new agents. I think myself, and you and I, this is what you and I were talking about yesterday, the greatest challenge new agents have is not learning the script or the systems, or learning new emotional stories, or learning how to approach somebody and what to say to somebody when you approach them. I think the greatest challenge that new agents have is deeply understanding how, just the more moral rightness of what we do. You know, the reality is we're not, it's like what Jerry was saying, we're not playing games here. This is very, very serious business. I've been in sales for 40 years now, 40 years in sales. And until I came here 33 years ago, everything I sold was just what I would call fluff. I mean, really, I have said it many times, what did Coca-Cola ever do for anybody except give them gas and pimples? Here, I have that great service to go out and talk to people about every single day. You know, I've said it many times, too, about my mantra that I say every morning when I get up. I am an advocate for the self-employed. I'm a champion of the entrepreneurial spirit. And most importantly, I have an unshakable belief in the moral rightness of what we do. When you think about the people that we do business with, that entrepreneur, you've got to respect that individual before you even walk up and talk to them. They're not a paycheck. They're a human being. And, you know, they, you know, here's what I, you know, my thoughts on the difference between an employee and an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur wakes up every day and has to win. They have to win every single day or they don't survive. Whereas an employee just wakes up every day and has to survive. They just got to survive till the end of the day. And then they go on for another day. They get paid no matter what effort or service they put in there. But this is very, very serious what we do for people. When you think of that individual, all self-employed people share similar characteristics. They're all independent-minded. They all have this ability to be self-reliant. They all are proud of their businesses. And they're all proud of that standalone attitude, that me against the world, because that standalone attitude serves them extremely well right up until the point they get hurt or sick and they can't go to work. And that's when they find out what standalone really means. Standalone means you are standing alone. There's nothing federally or provincially in place for them. Yeah, their family will step forward and try to help them as much as they can. They'll bring over a casserole one night, maybe some baked goods another night. But we're the only ones that are going to stand shoulder to shoulder with this proud, hardworking individual and provide them guaranteed money every single day they can't go to work, even for the rest of their lives. This is very, very serious. And I think one of the greatest challenges new people have is that internal belief and understanding of just how serious this is. When that guy on the other side of the table says, well, I'm not sure this is for me. Well, you know already, if he's self-employed, that this is for him. There is nothing more important for him to look after every single month than to pay that bill so that he is covered every single day of his life. Not just for him, but more importantly, for his entire family. I get so excited about this conversation. I think you people really need to, this is going to be a great meeting. I can't wait for it. It's going to be fantastic. I'll kick it back to you, Greg.
Well, you know, I think you just got to believe in the product a little bit more, Fred. That's, you know, that's one thing I really love about you. You have not lost your passion from the day you started. Actually, it's got stronger. Your conviction and belief in what we do since I've known you has even got stronger because you've seen the value when the service has been needed. When Amy shared her story, you know, it really resonated with me, Amy, when you shared your story at the beginning of the week or on Wednesday, when you told that terrible story about that claim that you're getting involved in now. But I think you would agree, you must feel good. Not that they're hurt, but you were there to counsel them, prepare them for that rainy day. Is that fair to say, Amy? I mean, I think your mic. Yeah,
yes, yes, it's absolutely true. And it literally was, it was a Saturday, okay, I'll go back again and see if they're home when they called the son back, because it is important to the mother and the father. And they called the son back from Canadian Tire. He was shopping with the son. And but no, when I went to pick up the doctor's claim note at the Holiday Inn, where the whole family had to live, their family of eight, and they had to have two rooms at the Holiday Inn because their house exploded, and then the father got into a car crash and a panic to get to the hospital. So it is a very serious thing that they're going through. And they're dealing with, of course, the home insurance and the auto insurance because the car is a total wreck. And they're having to deal with all of this now, plus not able to work at all. So it is a very serious thing. And I'm really proud to represent this company. And in the worst, very worst hour of their whole entire life, of their family's lives, and the mother, she just stayed.
Oh, sorry, Amy, your videos, we lost your last few thoughts there, Amy. You were talking about your mother.
I am in the country, driving my son to school.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Well, listen, we'll get back to you. We got the gist of what you're sharing, and I might be asking to speak to you again later on and just take the video off, and that way usually we can hear you in audio. But thanks for your thoughts. And I'm going to go to John. John, you know, again, when it comes to building confidence in sales, you know, a true professional, you train hundreds of people in your career. From your perspective, how would you build confidence in sales from your point of view?
Well, I'm a pragmatist, and I think our manual, our sales manual, is such a tremendous resource that people can go to, especially when you're new, when you have something that you can read and study and put into practice. And I just want to read a couple paragraphs. Great goals create great people. And when our goals and commitment are greater than our fears, then we challenge ourselves to walk towards that fear. Maintaining a positive attitude is key to overcoming call reluctance. You become what you think about, the books you read and the people you associate with. Reading positive books 15 minutes every day keeps your attitude positive. Positive quotes on your phone are helpful. A great strategy is to write out positive affirmations on stickies and put them on the dash of your car. A quitter never quits and a winner never wins. Reviewing your daily goals and having them with you in the car helps maintain your determination. Inactivity creates fear, and fear makes cowards of us all. Getting that early start, pushing away from the breakfast table. Effort makes the difference. Making a minimum of 9 approaches in the morning, which translates into 3 presentations before we stop for lunch. Bring your lunch so you're not wasting your time at a restaurant. 6 more approaches in the afternoon will translate into 2 more presentations. Top agents will always schedule an appointment in the evening. This is the best time to have both the husband and wife present during the presentation. Now, this is something that I'm a big advocate of, because using your success card to keep track of your approaches and presentations will help you monitor the effort you are putting in. You'll develop a positive mindset, seizing every opportunity to do an approach. As Wayne Gretzky says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You don't know if you don't go. Now, and the final thing I just want to mention, when we talk about great goals create great people, in terms of using the tools the company provides, that success card is a tremendous tool. And when we transfer that information from our success card into our goal book and keep good records, then we can go back to those records every 13 weeks and we can start understanding how we can improve our business, how many approaches we're making on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, how that translates into presentations and how many apps we're assuming and how much business we write. And pretty soon we get a picture. We get a picture of what we're worth. What we're worth. How much we're worth every time we do an approach. How much we're worth every time we do a presentation. And that builds confidence in ourselves and in our ability to go out and make a great income in this business.
Well,
And not only that, is again, as we talked about already, we work with pride and confidence because we understand the service we provide can make a difference to our prospects, our clients, for the rest of their lives. Back to you, Greg.
Well, John, that's why you're a professional. You know, you plan your work and work your plan. You got a vision, you have goals, and you execute. And that's why you mastered your craft, and now you created a culture, an environment, and associate with people that have the same values, same beliefs as you, and that's why, you know, London is doing so well. And I'm actually going to go to Joel, because Joel, you're a great example of validating this incredible opportunity. One of your strengths was you put your trust in John when you initially started to learn your craft, and now you're a teacher. You can share your wisdom and your experience because you built you validated that this really works if you trust and apply the system. And I'd like you to speak on this, Joel. Focus and build upon strength areas. Confident salespeople know their strengths and they work to develop them. This comes from being self-aware, not from being arrogant. Help each sales rep identify an area they naturally excel in, and then coach them to develop it even further. This will help them improve in the area, of course, but even more, it will help them build self-confidence when they're faced with areas they find challenging. Delivering a sales presentation, for example. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. I love how our business is so structured into a system that everybody can fit into. So even if they don't excel in every aspect of the business, because not everybody has the greatest strengths at emotional storytelling, not everybody has the greatest strengths at closing, at the trial close, assuming. But if everybody steps in and does the proper presentation, they're going to be able to get a sufficient amount of business to look after themselves, look after the family, and build a great, wonderful set of renewals. But when you work with someone and you teach them, being able to recognize their strengths and being able to say, I really, really respect how well you get into, I'm going to use Amy, for example. She is very good at getting into the presentation. It's a strength of hers. She does well at it. Everybody has a different strength that benefits them. And when you help them get good at it, they get confidence. When you have confidence, people want to do business with you. And then when you have people wanting to do business with you and you start to have success, you start to have more confidence and you start to do better business. And you start to grow just by doing it over and over and over again. Emotional stories for myself were not a strength. Even though I worked with John, John hired me back in 2009, and emotional stories were a strength for John. They were not for me. But I was good at sticking with the prospect, and he always appreciated that.
Well, so, Joel, what was your nickname at one time? Was it a pit bull with no teeth?
You know who gave me that nickname? That was Mike Bassan.
Okay.
I went out with him for a day, and he's like, yeah, he's like a pit bull, but he's no teeth. He's not pushing. He just sticks with them. Anyway, so that's actually where that came. Okay, and so I had a strength, but because I was good at that, and John gave me validation about it, I felt good about it. I felt confident that I could still do it, even though my other parts of my presentation weren't as good. And then because I felt good, I was able to keep going. And through practice, now I'm exceptionally good at emotional stories. I'm not going to make you cry like a lot, like Ruth Palmer might, but I'm still pretty darn good at them because I've had so much chance to practice, and do it. So when you're going out there as a new agent, look for places that you are good at and make sure you stay good at them because they will help validate the rest of your presentation. And then get around people who are better than you at different parts. Say, you know what, that person's really good at emotional stories. How do they come across with the emotion? Okay, I want to get around them. That person's really good at closing. How do I get around that person and learn? What do they say? Like, okay, what's Joel say? What's Sylvia say? What's John say? What's Ian say? Go around and find out what other people do better than you, steal from them, so to say, and get better from what they do. Steal from the best, and that's the way you'll become better. I'll throw it back to you, Greg.
Great wisdom, and I hope people, really think about what you just shared and make it their own property. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, and I'm going to go to Sylvia because I'd like you to speak to this, Sylvia. Replace negative energy with positive influences. One of the best ways your salespeople can build their confidence in sales is to surround themselves with successful, goal-oriented people and get rid of any negative self-talk and negative people in their lives. The sales manager should set the example by being positive and confident in themselves and avoiding negativity when possible. Positive, optimistic people motivate us to achieve. Try pairing up new sales reps with a mentor who can help them develop their skills and build their confidence. Can you speak to that, Sylvia?
I sure can, Greg. Certainly the environment that you're in and the people that you surround yourself with and spend most of your time with play a huge part on your success and your results. Anybody that's read Think and Grow Rich, I believe it's in Think and Grow Rich, it's a Napoleon Hill book for sure, that one of the most difficult things for people to get past is their environment. If you can't get yourself out of a negative environment, it's going to be more difficult for you to maintain that positive attitude and the energy that it surrounds you with. Everything in the universe, is full of energy. The life force, the intelligence of the universe is always flowing, and within it is all kinds of, within this no thing, as Bob Proctor would say, there are ideas, there's stuff. And the more when you're in a negative environment, it's very difficult, and if you're in a negative mindset, it's very difficult to do a great presentation. Because if you're thinking negative, you're quite likely thinking that things aren't going to work out for you. And if you're thinking things aren't going to work out for you, you don't feel good. It's impossible to feel good when you think that things are not going to work out for you. So if you can walk up and you approach a prospect, walk into a business, and your mindset is that you can try to fake it, but the intelligence of the universe knows better. And we only get out of life what we put into it. And so if you have family members, for example, that you don't actually live with, but as Bob would say, you don't go as often, you don't stay as long. It doesn't mean you don't love those people anymore. Because somebody else chooses to be in a negative mindset, that is their choice. And whatever they do will cause them to attract whatever energy they put out. You know, people talk about karma and karma's that people say karma's a B, and it's a negative word, so that karma's a bad thing. Karma is karma, and it's neither negative or positive. It will give you exactly what you put out. So if somebody does you wrong, you don't need to worry about getting all upset about them. Life will take care of that person. They will pay for, in some way, shape, or form, whatever they've done to other people. Your job is to maintain your positive attitude. Your job is to believe in yourself. And you can't believe in yourself if you're surrounded by people that tell you that it's stupid or you shouldn't do what you're doing or it doesn't matter. I mean, unfortunately, my first time in insurance was back in the 80s. And my brother said to me one day after I got into the business, and he lives in Nova Scotia, so we didn't talk a lot, and I was on the phone with him one day, and he says, oh, you're in insurance. That's pretty low, isn't it? That's his attitude. I said, well, I'm making more money than you are right now, so I'm not sure how low it is, but I was truly making more money than he was. and we will meet people in the field. The funniest line I heard this week, one of our agents was talking to somebody, and the guy said, well, you know, I'll just go sell shoes. Just go sell shoes? You're in a crash? You break your back, you break your neck, and you think you're going to go sell shoes? That's a fascinating thought. But if you spend time with that person trying to convince them of how great our program is, I mean, you can try if they're not being rude, but when people are just really that bizarre that they think that a guaranteed income wouldn't be important to them because they could go sell shoes, you got to move on to the next person. Because when you're in a positive mind frame and you're focused on your goals and you're committed to provide great service to the people that you can provide service to, you will attract to yourself positive people. You will attract to yourself, as you're moving forward, you have to have the action. You can't sit at home and think about it and people come knock on your door. But it's a two-way street. You think positive, you take the action, and life will bring you the right people. And if you read about it, and this is why we always talk about reading the right books and talking and being around the right people, because the more you surround yourself with great thinkers, big thinkers, it helps you to think bigger. Jim Rohn would say that you are the average, your income, for example, is the average of the five people you hang around with. So if you're the highest income earner of the people that you spend a lot of your time with, you're going to have a little more difficult time increasing your income. But if you are the lowest income earner and you meet some cool people that are there, you know, you might meet a group of people and they're all six-figure earners and you've never earned six figures, you're going to be surrounded by bigger ideas and a higher vibration of energy, and that's going to feed you. It's just like if you take a seed and you plant it in the ground, if you plant it in terrible dirt and don't give it any water or any fertilizer, it doesn't have much of a chance to grow. You're just like that. Put yourself in the right dirt and have the right environment of other people that will fertilize your ideas. And you spend time outside in the sunshine and are always moving and not sitting on the couch going, oh, woe is me. Great things happen for you. And the best way to build your confidence, besides thinking positive about yourself and what you're doing, is to do it. Just do one more. When you feel you've done all you've done and you can do and you're feeling like, oh, I don't know, just do one more. Just do one more. And if you can't, it's like you can't eat an elephant all at once. It's one bite at a time. And that's the same with us, and you'll find with what we do. And you'll find when you do one more and you keep saying, I'm going to do this and I believe I can do this. And next thing you know, you meet somebody that's nice. Maybe they don't buy, but they're nice. And so you feel a little better. And you do one more. If you think you've tried as hard as you possibly can in a day to get your five in and you're only at four, just do one more approach. Just do one more approach. Just say, okay, I'm going to do maybe 10 more approaches and then I'll go home. And most of the time when you do that, and again with the right attitude and the right thoughts in your mind and joy in your heart, often there's that fifth presentation. It's not a 9-to-5. It's a 0-to-5 presentation. So how long does it take you to get your five? The more excited you are, like Ian Banfield, can't wait to get to the South Shore this morning. You know, he'll have his five done in no time because he's excited and he's looking and he just knows. And that just takes time. But to build it, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Because if Joel Bunch can have a $24,000 week, anybody can have a $24,000 week. When Roger Bannister broke that everybody said nobody could run a 4-minute mile, magically other people started running a 4-minute a mile. Once somebody's done something, almost anybody else could do that. And I say almost because some people do have certain physical and mental restraints in this lifetime. But for most of us that are on this call, we can all do it. What is the difference? It's the difference in our confidence, our attitude, and our work ethic. But all that stands between you and whatever goal you want to achieve, as I've said before, is the number of presentations and the quality of those presentations. Back to you, Greg.
Well, you're such an inspiration in your thoughts, Sylvia, and you're a student. It's not luck that you can speak to this subject of positive energy because you study it, you've lived it, you earned it. It's not something that just shows up. You have to make a commitment or choice of this subject, and you have. And thanks for sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Ian because, Ian, we talked about this earlier this morning, but not everyone was on the call. But I'd like you to speak to learn from the success of others. A mentor is great for this, but sales leaders should work to build a culture in which salespeople regularly share tribal knowledge. When a member of your sales team achieves success, recognize it and ask them to present their success story at your next team meeting. They'll own that area of expertise and increase their own confidence level. At the same time, they'll help their team members to achieve the same success. Can you speak to that, Ian?
Well, Greg, actually, you kind of answered that the last paragraph with Sylvia. You know, this is an opportunity where first you become the student, and then the student becomes the teacher. And it's really about repetition, muscle memory, and commitment. You know, this is a call about confidence. You know, I love that subject because you listen to a pro like Sylvia, you know, it's that inner peace. It's also that inner talk or that self-talk. Every single day that you try to become your best, and it's, you know, for myself, what I have found in this business is just that. It's going, I'm going to write something. I'm going out today. I provide value. I have the best of one thing. And I'm going to bring my best to the table or to some prospect's table, and I'm going to write them. And that confidence, it's similar in business. It builds momentum. There's no fear. You know what I mean? Like, people are not scary. We're all the same. We're fighting the same battles, you know, keeping shelter over our head, putting food in our bellies, and, of course, our most sacred, our children. You know, this is what keeps families together. That confidence of owning a market, you know, like Sylvia just spoke about, planting those seeds in good dirt. Well, I'm going to tell you, in Canada, we got great dirt, and it's up to us to mine those fields, you know, by reaching out every single day, by doing the uncomfortableness of meeting scary people, but doing your job, going out and protecting people. Like I live kind of a very parallel life with my other career in life safety and now financial safety. I own that. I make sure that I get up early, chicken away from the table, as John spoke about earlier from breakfast, you know, and one thing I always do too, like I don't stop at restaurants, I stop at like grocery stores. That's where I'll pick my lunch up because I know I'm going to meet a contractor there grabbing his chicken or what have you. It's a great place to introduce yourself, maybe set up a meeting, but it has a mindset or a purpose of not sitting down for an hour, missing, which we used to call it $300 lunch. Well, an annualized premium right now is over $1,000. Don't waste your time, but build that confidence by doing your presentation, going back to the basics, and owning that. Know your system cold. And having a mentor like a Joel, a Sylvia, for myself, an Adam, and a Christian, you know what I mean? I was that student, but I became a sponge. I've owned that, and when I come out, we all share the same name on those cards with Landmark Canada. We reflect exactly what we attract, as Sylvia talked about, the good people. You know, there are people that are rude. Big deal. That doesn't own my day. I laugh it off. Like, right on, that's your income. And I'm just going to write everybody else in your community. And when I come back, I'll just accept an apology first. That's a different mindset. That's the mindset of growth. You know, on the sunny days, it's great, but on the wintry days, like we're coming up to, it adds grit. It adds perseverance. You know, those are the kind of attributes and skills that become a confident person, a confident agent. And if you don't have that in your life, or that positive inflection of positivity, you know, I'm really proud of Jack Wolfrey. He gave up social media. He doesn't surround and drown himself with that. He understands that that's just a vice, or what we used to call the old boob tube. Focus in on your goals. You know, great goals make great people. You're damn right it does. Because I know exactly what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for the self-employed. I'm fighting for my daughter's university education. Own that. You'll never stop. You're always in the game. And you're a walking, talking, shaking business wherever you go, and people appreciate it. So I'll kick it back to you.
Well, Ian, I think we could listen to you all day. We just love your energy and your passion, and it's contagious. I really hope people just really listen to your thoughts and reflect and say, if Ian can be that way, so can I. You don't have to keep it a secret. Be proud of what you do. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Ian. And I'm going to go to Christian. Because Christian, I'd like you to speak to this. Master the fundamentals. People are most confident when they're doing something they know well. For sales professionals, that means getting completely comfortable with the sales process. They should know each stage of the process like the back of their hand. Effective sales training allows salespeople to make the steps of the sales process a habit, so they aren't trying to remember what to do next when they're with a buyer or a prospect. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, the preparation is the key to feeling the confidence and the competence. If you put the time in outside of the field, then when you get in the field, you're not practicing, you're performing. And our presentation is very much a performance. We're going out there and we're delivering the very best that we can, despite what we're getting across the table. So when we know our stuff, and we have put the time in to prepare, we can go into that situation and we can influence the environment. We're not always going to, we can't control how people show up in our lives. The response that they give back to us is not in our control, but how we go forward is within our control. So if we know every step, every transition, and we can do that the same every single time, then we're going to create predictable outcomes. So knowing your stuff cold makes you feel like you're in control, because you are in control. You know that when you get to certain steps in the presentation, you have these common responses. And as you do the work and you put in the time, you start to see these patterns emerge. And you're like, okay, I've seen this before. I know how to handle it. If you're role-playing with your leader, if you're spending time at home, doing it in the mirror, you gain the non-verbals. At the start, you're going to get the words. But as you put in the practice and the time, the tone of voice starts to come. The body language starts to come. And I don't know what it is, the percentage, but I think it's like maybe 65% of communication is non-verbal. So when you take time outside of the field to practice, to put the time in to know the words, and also work on your tone. If you're spending time in front of a mirror to see what, like, are you speaking with your face? You know, we say so much with our eyebrows and our, and there's so much that comes beyond just the words. And it's not always what you say that matters, it's how you say it. And so, you know, taking that time to perfect that, to master that, means that when you go out, you also, I find, that are kind of excited to put it to work. It's like when you're working on a skill, you want an opportunity to demonstrate that skill. And so if you're taking time and working on this day by day, before you start your day, at the end of your day, then when you're going out in the field, you're looking for opportunities to put it to work. If you're at the point in your presentation where you want to be able to stick with a prospect, or maybe the trial close is something that you're working on, well,
you're excited to get into trial closed situations so that you can really listen and get the subtleties, and maybe you're missing a slight affirmative that you weren't catching before, or you were treating an objection, an excuse like an objection. You're looking forward to the opportunity to use those skills. And when it works, that's a great feeling. It's validation for the work that you put in. The advice that you're getting on these calls is incredible advice. Are you doing it? Are you putting it to work? You know, it's like these little things, writing down your goals. We talk so much about reading, engaging with positive material, going the extra mile when you're not getting the result that you want. Are you holding your tent early and going home early, or are you doing one extra presentation a day? These are easy to do, but they're also very easy not to do. It's easy to come home and take 15 minutes and review your day, reflect. What did I do well? What do I need to improve on? Is my process working well for me? Reaching out to a leader or a colleague and asking questions, it's easy to do, it's easy not to do. The people who are succeeding, the people who are, you know, earning a great living and feeling confident and feeling good about themselves, all had to go through the beginning stages of building confidence. But they chose to do these little things because they wanted it. It was important to them. They had a burning desire to achieve and do well. You may have that feeling inside of you that you want to do well, but it's making the choice to do these little things that makes the difference. Because again, it's easy to do and it's easy not to do. When you choose not to do it, you're choosing the momentary comfort that feels good right now. But realize that you're giving up the opportunity for something greater later. And so by perfecting your process and taking time to master it, you are building confidence. By choosing to do an extra presentation a day, you're building confidence. All of it, by reading good authors, taking 15 minutes. I know life is busy and people make all kinds of excuses why they can't just pick up a book for 15 minutes. But that small decision is going to influence your entire day. It feeds your mind a thought that you may not have had. It encourages you to keep going and keep persevering. And, you know, when somebody comes into your life that has a negative attitude, you realize that people who have pursued success have faced others that have had negative attitudes, but they chose not to carry it with them. They chose to continue on with hope and optimism. And that's the choice that you have. It's within your control. And when you do so, you do feel more in control of your life and more confident in what you're doing. So those are my thoughts, Greg. I'll send it back to you.
Great thoughts. And you walk your talk, because that's why you're so successful. You became a student, and you constantly work on yourself. You don't have that I arrive attitude. You're on a journey, and each step you take, you're just that much a better version of yourself, Christian. So thanks for sharing your thoughts and leading by example. And I'm going to go to Jack. Jack, I'd like you to speak to this. Become a subject matter expert to confidently communicate the benefits of your solution to prospects and customers. A salesperson must be an expert on your product or service. That's up to the company to offer adequate product training, but it's not enough to be an expert on the solution your company offers. A confident and effective salesperson will also be an expert on their customer's industry so they're regarded as a strategic resource and not just a product pusher. Encourage reps to learn as much as possible about the industry's your service so they feel sure of themselves when calling on the prospects. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, definitely. And first off, great thoughts by absolutely everyone so far this morning, but I've thought about this point all the time. when I got started in the business, like, your job is to do 5 presentations. But your career is what you do outside of that. If you spend no time learning about other products, we talk about doing comparisons. It is so easy to Google a sample policy and read up about an edge benefit. You can find it on Google. If you are planning to approach a farmer, you can Google. Like, we have a huge resource online with the web. And I know I may have deleted social media, but I'm not going to say that the internet can't be very valuable for you to find things out. You can look up an industry, maybe with the risks associated with farming, risks associated with roofing. You can look up the obligations and requirements of workers' comp. You can Google unions and what they supply. You can look up anything. You can look up a community and see what has happened in that community that might be of value for the people you're reaching out to, for them to associate with. There's news. You hear about construction site accidents all the time, and that's how sometimes, I think it was Johnny mentioned, that he realized one of his clients had been in an accident because he had heard about it. Now, you might hear about it when you're in the field, but you will hear about it if you are relentless in finding it. So do you choose to be relentless in what you do outside of the required 5 presentations a day? Because you can learn how to do the system, or you can learn how to run a business. And that is the requirements of what you do with your time beyond it, because we are self-employed. We are obligated to learn this for ourselves, right? You've mentioned to me and to everyone I've heard you speak to that when you started, you didn't have the luxury of having the same quality of field training that the old guard is able to provide for us now. And you still were able to figure it out because you took it upon yourself to master not just your job, but become a master in your industry, in your field, and in your career. And that focus and that responsibility is where people gain the confidence to speak beyond just how good our product is, but how good our product is for the industry we're speaking to, compared to the industry we're working in, for the community that we're working in, and for the type of person we're working with, compared to what the government can do, compared to what a private company can do. Knowledge is power. So seeking knowledge is a way to strengthen your mind and provide a better service for the people you're talking to so they can have the confidence in you that the product should be able to portray on its own. It's such an important topic to research what it is you're doing and the people you're working with outside of the business. So make time for it. Are you prioritizing watching the show, or are you going to pull up a sample policy? Are you going to Google accidents in your area? Are you going to reach out to communities? Look at your network. Maybe you can talk to a nurse that you know and find an emotional story from something they've gone through recently in an area that you live or work in and that you have associations in. It's not a limit of resources. It's a limit of resourcefulness. Expand your resourcefulness and you will find solutions to any problem that you have. I'll throw it back to you.
Nice way to end that, your last comment there, Jack. It is resourcefulness. If it's to be, it's up to you. There is no excuse. If you really want to be successful, you got to commit to the thoughts you just shared, and you'll be successful. And that's why you're doing so well, Jack, and appreciate your thoughts. And I'm going to go to Ruth, because Ruth, I know you can speak to this. Learn from success and failures. We will all experience success and failure. They're both a necessary part of life. It's how we react and learn from our success and failures that makes the biggest difference. When your reps fall at something, coach them to use to their advantage. They should learn from it, brush themselves off, and go back out there stronger than before. When they experience a win, they should do the same thing. Have them examine what went well and replicate it in the future. While a win can provide a confidence level boost, your rep should learn to always be thinking about the next opportunity on the horizon. Can you speak to that, Ruth?
Well, certainly when you keep on going and you keep on learning, you smooth out. I mean, John told me about that in my first year because I said, oh, I'm feeling pretty beat up, you know, and he said, well, that's normal, you know. And then, and he said, you're like a big rock that's fallen off of a mountain and it's all jagged. And you're hitting the side of the mountain and you're smoothing the rock out. And by the time you get to the bottom, it's going to be all smooth. And it's kind of like that because you gotta, you can't get the success without the failure. You gotta embrace that failure and learn from that failure. Way, way back when I was about 20, I don't know how old I was in my 20s, and I had my first job in a car dealership. And I heard through the grapevine that they were going to get rid of me because I wasn't selling anything. I was there enjoying my position in the sales department, but I really wasn't doing anything and moving any vehicles. And my little heart was broken, and I went to somebody, and that person put Think and Grow Rich in my hand that day. And that little failure definitely brought with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. So what if you can't do it? And what's the worst that's going to happen? I keep talking about that. You know, good Tony Robbins trick. What's the worst that can happen? And then, okay, you know what the worst can happen. Well, can I live with that? Well, yes, I can live with that. So if I go up to the door and they say no to me or they're rude, what's the worst that can happen? Okay. Can I live with that? Yeah. Okay. So what's the worst that can happen if you try to get 5 presentations in each and every day and you don't have any sales by Wednesday? What's the worst that can happen? You keep on going because Thursday there's one there because the numbers are inevitable because it will turn. It just always does. Nothing stays the same. And the past definitely does not equal the future. In our wonderful career that we have the ability to create our future by thinking thoughts that are going to help us to get there, which are thoughts of expectancy and a thirst for knowledge. And you take those things and you learn and you polish and you get better and better and better. And time flies by. And it's certainly true that flies by when you're having fun because I can't believe I'm in my 8th year, but boy, that flew by. And I can't imagine, you know, these other guys that have been here so much longer. But, you know, the fun is there every day. You know, you might go out all day long and not get any sale out of it. But you can have a great time and you can meet some great people and you can do a good service by explaining, because that's your job. My job is to explain about the program, right? And your job is to listen. But my job is to explain, and I really have that in my mindset. My job is not to tell somebody anything. My job is to explain about the program. And that's where I put my focus, and I think it's been a very, very good thing. And you teach other people to do the same thing. And the next thing, we got a whole bunch of people that know how to explain and expect and grow and learn. Okay, pass back to you.
Well, thanks for your thoughts, Ruth, because, you know, it's been an inspiration to a lot of people, just your personal growth. You know, you really are a great student. And you know, there was times where maybe you didn't understand what to do, but you put your trust in your leaders. And you reflect it. You always ask yourself, what did I do well and what could I have done better? So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Ruth. And I'm going to go to Jody. Jody, I'd like you to speak to this. keep an open mind. Successful, confident salespeople don't stagnate and settle for mediocre. They have growth mindset and are constantly looking for ways to improve. Whether that's through self-help books, creating long-term goals, or taking educational courses, they keep on and open-minded and never settle for less than their best. Often, when we step outside of our everyday routines, we're able to see things in a different light. Encourage your sales reps to venture out, learn, and bring fresh ideas back to the daily hustle. Can you speak to that, Jody?
Well, happy Friday, everybody. It's nice to be back on the call. Can you hear me, Greg?
I sure can.
Okay. So, well, I've missed everybody, and I'm happy to be back. I can attest that when you have an accident and you're in pain, your world changes. And what we provide, the service that we provide, I can definitely say that it works. Everybody has said, and with enthusiasm, with a lot of insight, that they are honing their craft all the time. We never have one place where we just stand and say, I've arrived. We're always in motion to become better at what we do, our craft, our community, our life, our legacy. And we have a great group of people. There's a lot of new faces that I see on the ding list, and you know, my hat goes off to everybody who's training and equipping these new agents to become their best. And the variety of people that we get to be in front of each and every day is a blessing, and one that I take with such pride. Because you can know how a restaurateur makes their money, or how a framer his cost or their cost, or how a woman who is opening up a patisserie because it's her life passion. Everybody has alluded that we are going and we're being in front of self-employed business owners. I think it was Fred who said they wake up each day and they have to win. I love that saying. Thank you, Fred, because it is a struggle for many people financially, emotionally, a commitment. But for those who love their job and being in front of them and showing them how important it is to protect that income that they love, that's our job. And if you, for whatever reason, don't take that seriously, don't have passion, don't have that grace and enthusiasm when you walk up, you're just spinning your wheels. You're not doing yourself a service, and you're certainly not doing your prospect. So embrace what you do, love it, have fun, as Ruth says all the time, and it is a fun journey. And I hope I contributed a little bit. I'll throw it back to you, Greg.
Well, you always do, Jody. You always do. You know, I have to say, you know, I feel honored when you and I speak on a weekly basis. I admire your self-direction, and I know you went through an accident recently, and yet how positive you are, working with getting better and stronger and back to business. I mean, you're so committed, Jody, and we appreciate your thoughts. So thanks for sharing your thoughts. We're literally out of time. We're at that 9 o'clock, and I want to make sure everyone have a really great day in the field today. But I do want to hear from Adam. Adam, I really appreciate your insight, because you always get to listen to everybody share their thoughts. What's your conclusion, and what tidbit would you like to give to this call this morning?
Yeah, Greg, what a great call. I mean, the wisdom that's being shared by people is firsthand experience. And I think that's one thing that just, you know, the people on the call that have the strongest conviction have the most intimate relationships with the consequence of the the problem that we're solving. Ian understands the importance of one's income. Jody is evidently gone through something that has shifted that perspective. Amy now has a story. You know, if you're looking for a reason to get emotionally engaged with this product, go to an emergency room. Like Jack said, pick up the paper. We are the best of something. Okay, we are the best. Unequivocal, unarguable, there is no debate. We have the single most complete product for our target market that is available on the market in Canada today. If you need help getting fired up, pick up a phone call. You're going to be asked to do things that are more uncomfortable than that. Pick up a phone and call somebody that has said something on one of these calls that resonates with you. Because the reason the conviction is being shared is because there is a point in time where you can no longer deny the importance of this. No matter how hard you want to, no matter how many ways you want to say, there is a level of experience that you get in this business where you cannot deny how many people have had something like this touch their lives. And we are just so blessed to have the best of something that, you know, the saying that you have a business if you have the cheapest of something and you have a business if you have the best of something, that idea continues to mean more over time as you grow through this business. And I just encourage you to pick the brains of people who have that conviction, because they didn't show up with it. They earned it through the actions they took in this business. Back to you.
Wow. Love the way you summarized everything, Adam. You know, you always contribute to these calls. You know, you have a nice way of packaging it. So thanks for sharing your thoughts, Adam. And I'm going to go, I just want to say, I'm going to go to Jerry, but I wish I could had more time today, because I would have loved to have more thoughts shared by Betty and Amy and Chelsea and Dorota. There's so many people on this call that I know could add value to what we talked about today. But we're out of time. Jerry, do you want to summarize your final thoughts and close the meeting?
Yeah, excellent meeting, ladies and gentlemen. And it just comes to mind, as most of you know, I had the honor, the privilege of starting the company in 1971. And from that day forward, ladies and gentlemen in Canada, no one ever failed in this business that made 5 presentations a day to set out 20 presentations a week. Don't worry if you're good at it. Don't worry if you're the quintessential. Don't worry if you know all of it. Just get in the presentations, and just doing it gets you better and better and better. It gets you to slow down and relax and listen, and you learn how to tell emotional stories. If you just get in the 5, I guarantee your success. You can have a slow day. You can have a slow week. I promise you, you'll never have a slow month. And we've been proving that for over a half a century. Don't change those rules, because they're not changeable. They're in hard concrete stone. This is your success is a foregone conclusion if you're willing to make 5 a day. Don't worry if you're right business or don't right business. You'll get your share and you'll get better. And that has been our mantra from not only just this great country of Canada, but the UK, exactly the same thing, and the US of A, exactly the same thing. That is our business. Incredible product and 5 presentations a day, 20 a week. You don't have to do any more than 20, just 20 a week. And you're guaranteed greatness with your life. If not, you're gambling. And I don't believe in gambling, because it's a risk. Back to you, Mr. Emery.
Well, great call. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning. Have a great day. Bye for now.
Goodbye.